Hello and welcome to Baylor Connections, a conversation series with the people shaping our future. Each week, we go in depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more discussing important topics in higher education, research, and student life. I'm Derek Smith, and we're talking sports today with our guest, Dr. Kirk Wakefield. Dr. Wakefield is the Edwin W. Streetman Professor of Retail Marketing and Executive Director of Sports Strategy and Sales in Baylor's Handkammer School of Business. An expert in sports marketing, psychology, sales, and more, Dr. Wakefield has conducted research across all facets of the sporting world and consulted for numerous sports franchises and brands. Dr. Wakefield has developed Baylor's renowned sports strategy and sales program and its advisory board of over 95 members from major league teams, leagues, and corporate partners. His insights have been featured in a variety of national magazines, programs, and newspapers, including Forbes, USA Today, and numerous academic journals. A lot going on in the world of sports in the era of COVID-19, so you've been very busy, and we appreciate you making time today to join us here on Baylor Connections. Dr. Wakefield, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Derek. A lot has been going on even in the last 24 hours with some of the conferences pulling the plug on fall football, saying they might play spring football, which seems curious because then what are you going to do, turn right around and play fall football again? So that's just mind-boggling. Then you have, of course, the Big 12, looks like SEC and ACC saying, we're going to play ball. And maybe you've seen the memes I have with, towards Nebraska saying, welcome home, come back, Ohio State, want to join us. Sure. So, yeah, that's all very interesting. And, forget about, good grief, professional sports. We've never seen anything like this, right?
Right. Well, let me ask you this as a professional. I'll ask you to start off with a question about questions. As you look at the landscape in both college and the pros right now here in mid-August of 2020, what are the questions that you find yourself asking the most and the ones that most intrigue you?
Yeah, I was on a couple of calls today, one with friends at the Miami Dolphins, another one with Columbus Blue Jackets, and then yesterday, also today, with the Houston Texans. And what came up, really in each of these discussions, and almost like every discussion recently, is, so what's changing in the way we do sports sponsorships and partnerships now that we're having to do? So they're having a lot of make goods because the things the brands planned for in the stadium with the fans there, not happening. So they're having to shift. Well, the question is, are the ways that we're shifting towards, digital, of course, broadcast, with things in the bubble and everything else, and whatever will happen this fall with football, or more social media, more experiential things, using things like Zoom calls with players. Is that necessarily worse? I don't know. It might be better, is what I was talking with my, the Dolphins guy, it could have been Texans. We were saying that might be better going forward, frankly, much like education. If you'll let me step off on a little bit of a separate or adjacent platform, which is the way we've been teaching necessarily the best? It's, the way we've been doing it. Maybe some of these things we're forced to do with hybrid classes and some online, maybe not all bad.
Yeah. So there's a learning curve that everyone's dealing with, but the end result could be some better practices down the line in every industry.
Yeah, that's my take on it. And one of the questions I get, because I also run a research firm that works with, a couple dozen teams and 160 some odd brands that we do sponsorship research on. And the question is, are we going to have worse results this year because there's no fans in the stands? All right. So here's an interesting fact. Say the Dallas Cowboys, they have, according to some sources, 17 million. Fans that follow the Cowboys. How many people actually attend a game in a given year? Well, once you count season ticket holders who, go most of the games, let's say six or seven of the games, and all the other unique visitors, it's only about a little less than half of total attendance. We're talking about a few hundred thousand out of 17 million. So guess what? Every year, the Cowboys are reaching, and every other team for that matter, are reaching the vast majority. Actually comes out to 97% of their fans. They're reaching not at the game anyway. So I think what people are figuring out is, wait a second. It could be that those things that we plan just on game day at the venue, that's certainly effective for those people. But guess what? You've been reaching them 97% of them through digital, you know, TV, radio, social, other events. And by the way, year round, right? Mm-hmm. Not just, you know, on game day.
You know, what you're talking about is engaging your fans and keeping them involved in your brand and in your team or your program. When we talk about the word engagement from a broad in a broad sports lens, when you talk to your colleagues in the sports world, what are we talking about when we say engagement?
Yeah, I mean, it does mean different things to different people for sure. But I think those most of us would say it means taking some action on the behalf of the brand or the behalf of the team, whatever it might be. So you're acting. So if it's social media, it's not enough to be exposed to that ad from that player and that brand that's sponsoring them to be an influencer. It is, did I like it? Did I do something with that you know, social post? And you know, of course, maybe repost it or retweet it. So that's taking an action is what it amounts to.
We're visiting with Dr. Kirk Wakefield here on Baylor Connections. We're going to talk more about engagement, but I want to ask you, you know, we've talked about some of the positives that some of the positive ways that teams can approach this. But let's ask specifically about the lack of fans in the stands, because sometimes it's easy for fans. You hear the numbers involved in sports, or contracts for players and TV, and you can kind of glaze over a little bit. But when you think about the bottom line of the games themselves, the fans, the fulfillments and sponsorships, like you mentioned, souvenirs and food, what is the impact right now of not having those things? And how is that shaping the way teams address these other issues?
Yeah. So in case anybody thought I was passing off the as if it was unimportant that fans aren't there. No, it's huge.
Sure.
I was talking about from the sponsor standpoint of, can I reach them? We can still reach them and engage them. From the team standpoint, I mean, I think most people who are listening to this have seen the headlines of the billions of dollars lost because of no fans. I saw something maybe a little bit outside of the typical U.S. Fans listener, but saw F1 results, you know, motorsports in the UK, Europe, and so on, and places in the US as well. But I want to say it went from like $620 billion revenue down to something like double digits, or $620 million down to double digits millions [S2] Wow. [S1] Of revenue. So it was, you know, however many, like 100-fold, I can't remember. It was horrible for no fans in the stands. And then the same is true. I mean, it kind of breaks down differently by league. So the NFL, frankly, is probably least affected by the attendance, although it's still huge. But I think last time I looked, it's about 25% of the revenue. So take 25% of a huge number. Okay, it's still huge. It's much more critical for MLS and hockey, where a lot of their revenue, maybe as much as 40% or more of their team revenue, is based on tickets and attendance. So, yeah. And then imagine college sports. Then, you know, again, maybe even more so.
When you think about the domino effect of not having games, from your standpoint, obviously there's a lot we don't know, even as some sports leagues are actually actively playing right now, like Major League Baseball. We've seen what's happened with the Miami Marlins and St. Louis Cardinals, some outbreaks on those teams. So we don't know what's going to happen day to day. But when you think about the domino effect of sponsorships, of jobs, certainly health first and foremost, what are kind of your thoughts about the sports leagues that are at least keeping their options open right now, as opposed to, as you mentioned, you know, the Big Ten and Pac-12 have right now said it's not happening in the fall?
Yeah, well, here's my personal view, which I might be also a professional view. I just caution that way. My personal view, and leading over to the professional view, is that most of those decisions are not really based so much on safety as much as it is on liability. As some of our listeners, I'm sure, have seen, if you think about it, for college sports, for athletes themselves, good grief, they couldn't have better care than what they get at athletics. So if you're telling us that it's for their safety, that's hard for me to swallow. You know, could you say it's for the safety of the fans? Maybe. So fine. But I think it's mostly just not wanting to be liable if and when that, because it will happen, somebody gets COVID and they go, oh, well, that never would have happened if you hadn't had my child there. Of course, they omit the possibility that your child would have also gotten it, wherever else where they would have had less care on many levels. So that's my take on it.
Sure. When you think about, you talk about college athletics versus pro athletics, obviously there's a lot of similarities when you think about sponsorships, when you think about fans in the stands versus not. But what are some of the key differences in the way that you say, you mentioned the Dallas Cowboys versus a collegiate team, a collegiate program has to approach this?
Yeah, I mean, on the sponsorship side, I'd say the advantage the pros have is, you know, these huge databases of hundreds of thousands of fans that are addressable that they can reach and market to, if you will, all year long. You may have seen, I think I included one of the articles on Forbes. I took a look at web traffic data, and you can see that actually even in the off season, pro teams get about half as many fans are still, you know, roaming their websites during the off season. Interestingly, college sports, they have pretty steady web traffic on their, you know, like our Baylor Bears site, the sports related websites for college sports. There's a lot of web traffic that's there. What college lacks, though, is a little bit of the ability to directly address them by email campaigns and other ways to market to them, whereas pro teams have that ability, you know, through their databases. But they still have, everybody still has the website, everybody still has social. And still some, I guess, extracurricular, experiential things that are now kind of gone to Zoom. Like I mentioned, having Zoom meetings, I'm sure everybody's done those, but you can do them in mass, and you can have guests actually get there easier than you could have before, perhaps. Mm-hmm.
This is Baylor Connections. We are visiting with Dr. Kirk Waitfield, the Edwin W. Streetman Professor of Retail Marketing and Executive Director of Sports Strategy and Sales in Baylor's Handkammer School of Business. And, you know, you talked about social media. If you think about it right now, about the only place fans can gather in large groups is on the web. You know, obviously not going to the games, or you're not connecting at the sports bar or what have you. Has that fact and what you've been studying in any way shaped your thinking even more about fan passion and the role of social media in harnessing that?
Yeah, I think I saw some numbers. Well, I know I did. Early on, maybe the second or third month, you know, the pandemic, if you will, that social media use is up at least 7% for those that can be reached through Facebook ads, let's say, or other sponsored ads on Instagram or Twitter, you know, are up in large percentages because, yeah, what else are you going to be doing? And they're still following their teams and their passion, right? So, again, that's a good sign on the sponsorship side that you now can probably reach more, or will be reaching more than previously, and they're more tuned in. I always think of what a friend of mine, John Heike, used to be the general manager at Fox Sports Southwest, and he said to us a few years ago, and we were talking about fan passion, and he said, you know, what we have with the regional sports networks like the Rangers and, you know, Mavs and so on, Spurs, is we have the lean in factor. And you think about sports versus anything else, except for maybe The Bachelor, I don't know. you know, the
Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, I mean, it fits there too, right? So you've got that lean in factor where you're sitting in your seat, leaning in, paying attention, even, you know, you're not skipping out of the commercials because you don't want to miss a play. And you've noticed that, and by the way, this is still also an advantage during what we were learning. You've seen this for a while in golf. You've seen it in NFL where they play through. So they're showing the match. They're showing the sideline during commercial, and the commercial's taking up half the screen. I mean, that's smart, right? So if I'm a passionate fan, which I am, I'm not stepping away if I can help it, because I want to see what's going on, even if it is, you know, dead ball. You know, I want to see what's happening then. So yes, they're hanging out on social. They're visiting the team website 365. I think that's one of the biggest, I think, breakthroughs that teams are getting, and particularly on the partnership or sponsorship sales side. You know, they're realizing, oh, yeah, maybe we won't even have games. Does that mean people don't care anymore? I mean, no, they do. They're still going to your website. They're talking about you on social. So, wow. I can still reach them, and I don't have to just think about, well, it's that Saturday, you know, those eight Saturdays or six Saturdays, whatever it is, at home, plus the away games.
You know, you mentioned the split screen on television, and certainly pioneer, you know, ways that television and technology are pioneering new ways people can watch the games and online. One thing that sports has going for it is that it is live and it is appointment viewing. From the standpoint of advertisers, for companies that would like to reach sports fans and sports broadcasts, how unique is sports now in an era that most people have DVR, and if they, you know, start, like you mentioned, let's just say Dancing with the Stars or The Bachelor 15 minutes late, and they can just fast forward through all the commercials? Maybe some people do that with sports, but not as many. How unique of a position does sports have when the games are going on? How appealing is that for advertisers right now?
Well, you may have seen, or you know, our viewer listeners may have heard, how ad space has been sold out quickly for MLB, NBA, you know, Turner Broadcasting and so on, sold out, I think, of all their ads. And maybe Fox, I think, did the same with their baseball or very close to it. So it's obviously helped that pent-up demand. But one of the things that I was talking with, so I have good friends out at Fox Sports, and on their research side, and their campaign has been, you know, sports is now. And that's true, right? Compared to everything else, sports is, well, almost anything else. You know, it's now, and later is not so good. I mean, it's almost like if you aren't there watching, you somehow didn't have an influence on it, you know, in the game. Like, you know, I got to be there somehow, you know, to have an impact. So yeah, I think that's what makes sports and anything that's a live performance. Well, it's really just sports, because you think about concerts and other things, you know, guess what? Or like you were saying, I can record any of those other things, and it's still going to be pretty much just as good. Sports is definitely now.
Right. Visiting with Dr. Kirk Wakefield here on Baylor Connections. And Dr. Wakefield, we mentioned sports strategy and sales, which you and others under Dr. Daryl Lanis, you know, really pioneered this over the last 15 years or so. 15 years, correct?
Right. 2006 were our first grads.
2006, your first graduates. And let's just say right now, I were one of your S3 students, a recent graduate working for a professional sports team in a position that is reliant on connecting with fans and, you know, as you said, getting them to engage financially. What's some of the advice that you would give me about navigating the uncertainty, yet also looking for those areas to potentially problem solve creatively?
To me, the biggest thing is recognize your fans want to hear from you. In fact, with Baylor Athletics, who we work with in the S3 program, we have students who intern there and we help them with research. And one of the things that we were working on about in May, I remember a question came up is, you know, should we ask Baylor basketball fans if they are ready to renew? I mean, it's a pandemic, right? Should we be asking them? And I go, well, why don't we find out? So we sent out a survey, and some of our listeners probably completed it. And we found the vast majority, I can't remember what, was well over 90% when we asked the question, are you ready to renew basketball season tickets? Said yes now.
That's great. Okay.
Like 3 months into the pandemic. And so, I mean, that's kind of obvious as to why, I guess, you know, our basketball fans would be willing to do that. But I did some other research. Yeah. I did some other research that found that was true. You know, for NHL fans, NBA fans, they wanted to hear from them. And in fact, what I've always likened it to, as I've talked with various teams and so on, you know, advising, I guess, on this is, you know, what kind of friend are you if when things get tough, you go dark, right? Mm-hmm. Well, you're the team I love, and you should be hopefully reaching out to me because you love me too, right? And you're communicating with me, and please don't take away the opportunity for me to be engaged, take action, to give you my money if I want, or to help, which is how Baylor fans think of it, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I think we want to help. We want to give our money for the vast majority of us, right? We want to support. And the same is true of professional sports. So that's what the research I did showed. Both at Baylor and among professional sports fans. So that's what I tell you is your fans want to hear from you. Even if it's just to have a conversation, they want to hear from you. And then, You know, you can afford to play it cool for a little bit, but I think you'll find that many of them are willing to buy season tickets even now with the uncertainty. And in fact, that was one of the national surveys I did that found that, interestingly, kind of counterintuitive, that fans are actually more likely to be buying season tickets going forward than less likely. Part of it's the stimulus money that's stimulating. You know, if you still have your job and your you still have that income, or if you have extra money coming in from the government, anyway, it's stimulated more interest in buying season tickets, not less.
Visiting with Dr. Kirk Wakefield. Now, I ask you, Dr. Wakefield, we mentioned your S3 students, and I know you've got students who have been some graduates who have done fantastic things. Brag on them for us, if you would, a little bit. What are some of the places and some of the roles that when you think of your graduates over 15 years, things that they're doing in ways they're impacting the sports industry?
I mean, really, that first class is a good example. You know, we have Todd Pollock, who's the vice president of sales and you know, ticket sales and service at the Vegas Golden Knights. We have Drew Mitchell, who's the associate athletic director for you know, Conference USA, basically the CRO. We have Lindsey Beal, who's a director of sales down at the San Antonio Spurs. We've got a number of people in our analytics side. Those are all kind of the sales side. We have a number of students now on the analytics side who are probably 20 to 30 different teams. So like Victoria Ham's a manager up at the New York Yankees. So we have a bunch of those out there that are very loyal. They, you know, interact with our students. We've got meetings set up this fall with class reunions on Zoom for every 2 years of graduates. They'll be meeting with us. Also, to send off Daryl Lanus, who's retiring this fall. Daryl and I created the S3 program. Daryl gets to meet with him, as do I, to you know, review old times, then also introduce them to the new S3 director, which is Dr. Lane Wakefield, who, oddly enough, is my son.
Oh, that's great. Absolutely. Well, you and Dr. Lanus have done a lot of great work, and excited to see what the future holds there as well as we head into the final couple of moments here on the program. Dr. Wakefield, you know, I think we've talked a lot about over these last 20 minutes or so, focusing on the business side, because frankly, when we talk about a lot of the other things, so much up in the air, and obviously this is your area of expertise anyway, but I'm curious what you think from the standpoint of, we use the word new normal a lot, right? People talk about the new normal with the idea that once things get back to quote unquote normal, what is normal will be a little bit different than what we're used to. Are there areas that are going to be that you think when you look at whenever life comes back to whatever that normal looks like, sports is going to be different or it's going to look different in this area? Are there any areas that stand out to you as being ripe for a change when things come back?
Yeah, I think one huge area is just the working from home, right? So I've talked with a number of executives who on the agency side and also on the team side, who they found, guess what? You can work at home. I can trust you to do well. And people are saying, I don't want to come back to the office, or at least much less. So they have to make those decisions as to, you know, those you know, I guess those expenses, whether to cut them or what, probably the cut part. So I think that's going to be different. I think we'll see more, of course, people selling on the sales side of what we do. And the analytics jobs, those can be done at home. And so I see a lot more of that still done, if you will, at distance, and where they live matters a little less than are you close to the office. I also think on the just the selling of tickets, for instance, I think what we're learning is maybe you can sell a lot more online. I mean, good grief. Every other industry that's been booming during the pandemic, what have they been doing? Lululemon selling way more online. Even the brands that weren't that good at selling online, like Under Armour, their sales shot up, even though overall they've been somewhat down. So I think the same thing is going to happen with tickets. You're going to see more digital selling, more online, fewer probably people in the sales department. So people that previously, you know, were there, they might decide, you know, maybe we need fewer of them, you know, when we return. That's not necessarily a great thing for a lot of our graduates, but what I hope our graduates are doing is thinking, okay, what's the next step? So their skills, good news for them is they've got good data analytic skills, should have the ability to shift and do just fine.
Well, we know you'll continue to problem solve and they'll continue to problem solve, and we'll look forward to seeing what that looks like. And hopefully, as we mentioned, we see the news, the Big 12 this week is moving towards playing, and assuming that's able to stay on track, we'll hopefully look forward to seeing you out around the games at some point this fall. Dr. Wakefield, we appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Dr. Kirk Wakefield, the Edwin W. Streetman Professor of Retail Marketing and Executive Director of Sports Strategy and Sales in Baylor's Handcammer School of Business, our guest today on Baylor Connections. I'm Derek Smith. A reminder, you can hear this and other programs online at baylor.edu/connections. Thanks for joining us here on Baylor Connections.